Welcome to the Sixth Man Podcast. Get ready for anything and everything you want and need to know about the NBA's Toronto Raptors. Now, your host, diehard Raptor fan, Dave Lawrence.
All right. Here we go. It is season two kickoff for the Six Man Podcast. Yeah, the one season will be the off season. The next season will be the regular season. And it is here. NBA basketball. We've been talking summer league, preseason, and now the regular season is officially underway. The Raps with three games in the books already, posting a 1-2 record. We're going to take a look at how those games went. Some players that are hot or not to start the season. Some additional trade rumors are out there, which they're not a ton at the beginning of the season. Certainly going to heat up though throughout, and we'll be checking in on a bunch of stuff, like I said, rumors, taking a look at the recaps of the games, and how our prize rookies have been faring so far as well. So let's take a look at a recap of this past week. The Raptors got their season underway at home. It was their first home game at Scotiabank Arena in like 600 days. And you could tell the Raps were a little nervous, a little nervous to say the least. They did not necessarily perform super well, dropping that opening game to the Washington Wizards 98-83. Any highlights to be looked at? Well, there was a couple. A lot of teaching moments, let's say, and it just seemed like what I was worried about. The offense was just ice cold. We need players that can make shots. Games like that, the Raptors' first game against the Wizards, they really help you appreciate. You know, you think these guys are way, way, way overpriced. Well, they get paid what the market dictates, but guys like a James Harden or Steph Curry, guys that put up numbers night in and night out, that's why they get paid the big bucks, because they can't afford to go cold, and they very rarely do. You've got to be able to score points. Now, I realize that the Raptors' identity is going to be and is defense, all right? They are subscribing to that all the way, and I think it is an extremely important thing. But the offense, it's got to be there as well. And just nobody could make shots in that game, it seemed like. Unbelievable. OG Anunoby off to a very, very slow start. Scotty Barnes with 12 points that night, but OG couldn't find the basket. Goran, not great. Gary Trent Jr. I associate Gary as kind of like our sniper for the most part. Just could not bury the ball in the basket. Fred was like, it was just an off night. But I think it was being home and being back and seeing all those familiar faces and a big full house at Scotiabank Arena. Just couldn't get it going and dropped it by 15 points. It was looking pretty ugly at parts. But, you know, the Wizards, one of those teams, as long as you got Bradley Beal, you're going to be in the game. He was on fire. And then I like some of their other players as well. Gafford balled out. He was fantastic. Adia is great. I think another young prospect that they have as well. But then Spencer Dinwiddie is on there as well, and he was balling out. They got some players, man. They got some players. I think Washington, honestly, is really, really heading in the right direction. They got some good pieces. And if they ever do decide to trade Bradley Beal, which will be very interesting because he's going to be a free agent after the season, if they decide to trade and get something for him before he goes, they're obviously going to get a boatload to help. But I still think ultimately you're better with him than without them. Now, the Raptors have always been linked to Bradley Beal. They'd have to clear some money to get him after this season, but he'd be a pretty nice addition, a guy I've always wanted to see on the Raptors, Bradley Beal. But game number one didn't go their way. Now, our first road game going to Beantown. Over in Boston, the Raptors, oh yeah, they balled out. They balled out big time. 115-83 victory, a 32-point victory over the Boston Celtics. Scotty Barnes with 25 points, Precious with 15 rebounds, Fred with 9 assists. That was like the other end of the spectrum, really. That Washington game was like, this is where our offense is very stagnant. And then the Boston game was the complete opposite. Raptors balled out. It was unreal. They just crushed Boston. And what's funny is I watched the game twice. And when I watched it the second time and saw the first half, the game was super close. Super close. It took them the entire second half. You know what? It was in the back end of the third quarter before the Raptors really started to pull away and then just dominated, really dominated the rest of the way all through the fourth quarter. Got a huge victory in Boston, and that's a good team. don't kid yourself. That is a very good team right there that they beat with, of course, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Those guys are always in the game. Kendrick Perkins, Big Perk, who's always been a beloved fan of the Raptors. Of course, he played for Boston. He tweeted out that night, Scotty Barnes is giving the Celtics that work right now. That young boy has a motor, nice size, great athleticism, and a very high IQ. By the way, he has a cool 21 and 12 at the time. Carry on. There you go. Perk, a big fan of Scotty Barnes. And you really already in three games can see how multifaceted he is as far as his game is concerned. Some of the no-look passes, the full-length passes, the shooting stroke looks good. I think he should take more shots. Getting his feel for it, but he's a dog. He's always around the ball, getting putbacks and offensive rebounds. Been seriously, seriously impressed with Scotty so far. Speaking of seriously impressed with Scotty Barnes, that takes us to our next game against the Dallas Mavericks. Raptors in it for the most part. We're leading at the half. The Mavericks take a lead in the third quarter and don't seem to give it up. Luka Doncic, he kind of almost seemed disinterested, you know? Honestly, they had gotten crushed by the Atlanta Hawks the night before, and then they're playing the Raptors. Luka just sort of very passive, not himself, and then in the third quarter, he just took over. It was unbelievable. This guy just throws up anything, it would go into the basket. And then they caught fire and ended up beating the Raptors, and that was their second loss so far this season. The Raptors lose that game on Saturday, 103-95, but they were leading for a good portion of it. They could have won that game for sure. But Scotty, speaking of Scotty, getting some big praise from head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, Jason Kidd, after the game. Take a listen.
Scotty Barnes is a heck of a rookie, great player. I want to say he's 20 years old. Now I can mess that up. He could be 19, 20, but he is, he's really, really good. He causes a problem on both ends of the floor and he knows how to play the game. And he's going to be a star in this league if he's not already a star. He loves to play the game. It's just, you know, watching him on tape, you would think that he's been in the league, you know, 3 or 4 years. So it's very impressive of what he's done early on in his career.
Certainly an interesting connection there with Jason Kidd and Scotty Barnes. You know, they both had the same knock to their game coming out of college and into the NBA. People saying Scotty couldn't shoot. He's not a good shooter. He's going to have to work on that. That was the number one thing when he's coming into the NBA. Jason Kidd, the exact same. Now, when Jason Kidd was at college, he was known for his behind-the-back passes, trick passes, and all of that. But once again, when he came into the league, his teammates called him Ason Kidd because he had no J. So I'm not worried about it, though. He became a good shooter down the line, and so will Scotty. Honestly, already been impressed with Scotty's shooting so far. He should take more shots. So after the first week and the first three games, as far as the Raptors are concerned, who is hot and who is not? Well, you got to give it up to Scotty Barnes. I mean, he's been unbelievable. Just very, very steady, putting up some double-double numbers. He's been great. I think he's been great. Gary Trent Jr., kind of right in the middle. That Washington game we want to forget about, but he sort of came on after that. And then the other person I would say not so far, although he did have a good game and scored over 20 points finally against the Mavericks, was OG Anunoby. Boy, those first two games, OG was not himself. I don't know if he's trying to do too much. His shot just wasn't falling. He just needs to get it going. Again, we're not going to panic because it's just the first week of the season. But OG just didn't seem himself. And it is incredible to look at his ball handling skills from when he was like a rookie his first couple of years. Now in year five, it's a lot better. But I don't know about that first step. It's not enough just to have somebody moving back and forth. You got to be able to get by them. And OG's more of an opportunistic player. He's going to find the lanes and find the lines and get in there, get after the ball and get it. And that's what he did. And then he finally got a shot dropping a bit in that last game against Dallas, scoring over 20 points. But we need him. We need him. I mean, there were players, like Fred was saying, especially with Pascal out right now, OG's going to be like our number one option. Well, he's got to be there. But, I'm not too worried. Season, super, super early. OG Anunoby so far, though, I got to give him a not hot yet grade. Okay, get a scarf on. Scarves. He introduced me to scarves. I'll give him that credit for sure. Who else has been not? I have been very shocked at not seeing Malachi Flynn play very much. Now, I know you got Goran and you know you got Fred, but Malachi, I thought, balled out in the summer league. Boy, his shot looked really good. Preseason, he looked really good. Has barely seen the floor. Delano Banton getting in before Malachi Flynn and getting some minutes, and yeah, good. We got the length out there and everything, but I am very shocked to see Malachi seem to be buried on the bench right now in Nick Nurse's system. I thought he was a guy that we're going to be relying on more this season and would automatically be coming on one of those first two guard spots. I assumed it was going to be Fred and Goran starting, and then Gary and Malachi being the next two guards to come off the bench. But that hasn't been the case. Delano getting time. They've been really switching things around and making sure one of those guys like Fred or Gary is on the floor. And then Scotty's been playing some point guard. Pretty much anybody on this team can bring the ball up. But they're causing headaches with their length, and that was the idea when they put this team together. Precious even bringing the ball up sometimes. It's been a bit all over the map. But Malachi Flynn, I don't know what happened to him, because watching him in summer league and preseason, I thought this kid was ready to go. Red Van Fleet, as they call him on the team over there. So is our offense a concern right now? No, but you do have to appreciate the consistency of knocking down shots, and we need somebody that can do that. I am afraid that we could have guys that get kind of lost in the limelight and just can't make those shots. And don't kid yourselves. Look, I'm a diehard fan of this team, but that was DeMar and Kyle's knock for years. Good through the regular season, but do we have guys that can make shots when the moment is there? We need those clutch shots, and they happen a bunch of times throughout the course of the game. When you can feel that game sort of shifting, and you know, it's certainly against Dallas, for example, they tie the game up at 62 points apiece. There's an errant ball that goes out of bounds. Looks like it's actually Dallas's ball, but they give it to Toronto. Jason Kidd can feel that momentum shifting. He knows that his team's on a roll, challenges the play. Dallas gets the ball back, they take the lead, and never look back again. There are these key moments in basketball games that you can see coming. And when you're on a roll, Jason Kidd didn't want to affect that. He needed to keep scoring and keep his guys rolling, challenges the play, and then you got to have guys that can score. And when you got a Luka Doncic, that's not too hard. Luka draws the double or triple team, he kicks it out to Tim Hardaway Jr., and he can make shots. We need players like that that can make those shots in those big moments when the game is either starting to slip or we're starting to pull away and we can keep our foot on the gas. That's what we need. Do we have those guys? I think the jury's still out. I'm not really, you know, willing to say that we don't. I love Fred. I love OG. Pascal, I can't wait to see him suit up and start playing again. It'll take him a bit of time to get back, but is he back to his old form from 2 years ago? And Scotty, you know, you got Scotty out there as well. So we'll see what happens there. But so far, some early impressions. Kem Birch, also, I haven't been overly impressed with so far. Was really great for the Raptors. Bit of a double-double machine last year. And again, three games, it's a drop in a bucket. But Kem Birch kind of getting pulled in favor of getting Precious back in there or rolling with a different lineup that has guys like Scotty playing the four or the five. Kem Birch has been a little lost on the court so far. So hopefully he can put it together and get rolling. Now, let's check in on some trade rumors. Are there any out while the season just began? But one name floating out there that NBA execs are apparently keeping their eye on is the Atlanta Hawks' Cam Reddish. 6'8", shooting guard for the Hawks. His name has been floated out there apparently during the offseason to see what kind of trades are out there. Could they possibly get a lottery pick for him? And the Raptors' name, of course, has been attached, as I'm sure most are. Do we need a Cam Reddish? I like Cam Reddish a lot, but I feel like I don't like him any more or less than Gary Trent Jr. We just re-signed Gary to a long-term deal. They're both literally, I think, the same age at 22. Love Cam Reddish at Duke coming out. But here's the thing. Why would you mess with anything to do with the Atlanta Hawks right now? I think they have a really, really solid roster. Probably the most forgotten team in the Eastern Conference when people talk about who could potentially contend for the Eastern Conference title. They are an awesome, awesome team. Drubbed Dallas a couple of nights ago. Trae Young, Cam Reddish, John Collins, love all those guys. I don't think they need to mess with anything. So I don't know why you would make a trade for the sake of it. But would I like to see Cam Reddish on the Raptors? I don't know. And then who would you trade for him? He's kind of a clone of Gary Trent Jr. Would you trade Gary for them? I don't know. I wouldn't be a buyer on Cam Reddish at this point, certainly until we see a full season with Gary Trent Jr. and how he can contribute to the team. I think you've already got a Cam Reddish for the most part. Hey, sue me. I think it's kind of the same player. They offer a lot of the same things, right? Shooting stroke, length, they get after it. I see almost the same player there, personally. But we'll see what happens. Cam Reddish, a lone name being attached to the Raptors in a very, very kind of slow start to the trade rumor season. But don't worry, it'll heat up as we get closer and closer to the deadline throughout the season. Now, I want to give a special shout out to Open Gym this week. If you haven't watched it, the new season is underway and it is awesome. One of the best behind the scenes documentaries that is out there. They did the very first one called Drafted, where they obviously highlight Scotty Barnes and Delano Banton and David Johnson from the draft. Now, the new episode, episode two, is the team going to Summer League. And there's a great part at the end where they have all the players coming in and signing their contracts. So there's David Johnson with his agent signing on an iPad. And one of the shots, they have Scotty come in with Bobby Webster looking at the table, and he's showing him his contract, and he goes, all right, you're going to be signing a lot of these over the course of your career. So there you go. There's your, you got to sign an initial here, put your address, and then you got an initial here. There's your contract, and there's your advance. And Scotty goes, oh. And he turns and he starts walking away, and Bobby starts laughing behind his mask, and Scotty starts doing like a little bit of a dance, like almost a little robot. Like, the dude just signed a contract for, I think his, yeah, he's getting $8 million. That's, you know, he knew through his agent and through how the business works what he was going to get when he walked in there. But the moment you're signing and become a millionaire, it's pretty cool. And I think he had the same reaction any one of us would have becoming a millionaire and signing that contract. He was just like, oh, he turned and just sort of walked away from the table. Everybody was kind of giggling. So shout out to Open Gym for capturing that moment. I watched it probably 143 times and enjoyed it every time I watched it. Also coming up this week ahead, the Raptors kicking off tonight. They'll be going up against the Chicago Bulls, the much improved Chicago Bulls. DeMar DeRozan making his return to Toronto. That'll be a great game. They are doing great so far. They've got not only DeMar DeRozan, I'm not just talking about one Raptor return, Matt Thomas also playing for the Chicago Bulls. I love Matt Thomas. I wish we kept him. And you got Lonzo Ball, of course, and Patrick Williams, I think, going to be a contender for most improved player this year. So we've got that game coming up on Monday. That's tonight. Wednesday, they'll take on the Indiana Pacers at home as well. And then after that, we are going to be taking on the Orlando Magic on Friday night. And then after that, this team is on the road a lot. 11 out of 14 games after that on the road. We were fortunate enough to get a bunch of home games right off the top. So we'll check in again next Monday and let you know a recap of everything that's been going on. I'm also very excited to be having a special guest on next week's episode, David Thorpe, former lead NBA analyst for ESPN. And his son plays at Florida State and played on the same team as Scotty Barnes. He's a big Scotty Barnes fan. So we look forward to having the coach join the show next week as we fill you in and cover Canada's team, the Toronto Raptors. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow the show on Instagram at the Sixth Man Podcast. Join us next time for another episode of the Sixth Man Podcast.